We're going to spend the rest of our time in terms of new agents and talking about checkpoint inhibitors. And it seems like almost every conference we do, regardless of the tumor type nowadays, checkpoint inhibitors are coming up. And thankfully, now they're coming up in gynecologic cancers. And it's turning out to be one of the really interesting stories of all the checkpoint inhibitor stories that we're going to tell in this series, particularly the endometrial cancer one, is really fascinating. So let's go through that a little bit. We're going to talk about cervical cancer as well. So a couple of questions just to warm up. And I was also experimenting with these kinds of questions. Tell us if you like these kinds of questions. So this actually is a true statement. We were just kind of curious whether people are aware of it. And it's interesting, Paula, that the most common gynecologic cancer is ovarian. But so far, checkpoint inhibitors have not been that helpful with ovarian. They're not approved. They're not often used. They're a major part, as you're going to see, about cervical and endometrial. But right now, we're waiting to see whether or not we can find a better way to use checkpoint inhibitors in endometrial cancer. So here's where it starts to get really interesting. And Paula, maybe you can react to this, which is metastatic endometrial cancer. So maybe before we even get started, Shannon, you can talk a little bit about the path a patient with endometrial cancer takes to get to the point of metastatic disease. And then Paula, you can talk about what happens after that.
Sure. There's going to be really two paths. There's one that a patient is actually diagnosed up front with stage 3 or 4 disease. This is considered metastatic and would be treated as such. Then there's another path, and more commonly, patients with endometrial cancer are diagnosed with early stage disease, which typically can be cured with surgery alone, with or without radiotherapy. However, there's a proportion of patients that will have a recurrence, and that patient will then be considered metastatic. So those are the two lines that we see. Both are considered chemotherapy naive.
So, and I guess then the question is, where do checkpoint inhibitors fit in? And again, before Paula talks about the sequence, let me stick with you, Shannon, in terms of trying to figure out what direction to go with a patient who has endometrial cancer. So many times in oncology, there's a key biomarker that really is going to push you in one direction. Our last program on CLL, we were talking about 3 biomarkers that drive what happens in CLL. In terms of 17P, P53, and IGVH. Well, I would say, Shannon, in endometrial cancer, the measurement of MSI is what really drives the management of endometrial cancer. And rather than showing a whole bunch of technical things about MSI, I wonder if you could just explain, as if you're on round, Shannon, what MSI is and why it's so important to determine in patients like this.
Yeah, so MSI is something called microsatellite instability. And basically what we're looking at, it's similar to PARP in that we're looking at DNA damage repair and specifically at proteins involved with mismatch repair. So it's just a different abnormality that can happen. Again, in that train track, it's just one little flip and you look to see if that patient's tumor has any evidence of that. And it can be done in a couple of different ways, but it's very easy. And it's interesting because this was a controversy. What do you think, Dr. O'Malley, about 4 or 5 years ago, should we be testing all patients for this, specifically to look for Lynch syndrome, which is a hereditary syndrome that you can see endometrial, colon, and the like. Once immune checkpoint inhibition came on, then you could use that as a decision-making point for treatment. And then the controversy went away. And now really we're seeing routinely all patients are being tested for this.
So, and I guess in a way you could, in a weird way, similar to BRCA, you can either have a germline MSI situation, MSI high, or you can have somatic. But the bottom line is that if they have it, not just endometrial cancer, cancer of the colon, there are other cancers. If they have it, they're very sensitive to checkpoint inhibitors. And so, Paula, getting back to the normal sequence, what we see is that if you look at in terms of MSI high endometrial cancer, theoretically, you give chemotherapy first and then a checkpoint inhibitor. Second line, you could give it first, but only give it to people with high PD-1 levels. And that's actually, we'll talk about that. And that's the model in cervical cancer. You could give the combination of Pembro and Lenvatinib second line in endometrial cancer, MSI high. We'll talk about that. Or you could start out with a checkpoint inhibitor. And Paula, right now, I think it's option A. I think most people MSI high are going to get chemo. And then they're going to get pembrolizumab, but not with anything else. And
you got the gold star.
Just kind of curious, Paula, how people do when they go through that path, so to speak.
Well, receiving pembrolizumab, patients do very well, much better than they do with chemotherapy. But back to what Dr. Weston said, I think sometimes we forget that not everybody's in an academic setting. And so even though standard of care for checking for microsatellite instability or the loss of the MMR gene, which can just be done in pathology, but if you get a patient that is a second opinion or transfers to you and looking at that pathology report, that might not have been done because it might have been sent out to a lab. So it's really important for the audience to know that they want to be checking the pathology for that testing. It's easy, inexpensive, and you get the results back really quickly. But moving forward, so the patient frontline would get chemotherapy plus or minus radiation or radiation plus chemosensitizer. But when they recur, we don't really have a standard of care. There are chemotherapies that we could give, but now I think Dr. O'Malley did the keynote 158 with pembrolizumab for MSI high. So patients that have an absence of one of the mismatch repair genes. So we give this every 3 weeks. Patients tolerate it really well. I had one patient that was on over 2 years and very few side effects. Now, we know with immunotherapy, patients most commonly would have like a diarrhea or colitis. We need to check thyroid function, that sort of thing. They can have fatigue. And then some of our patients who tend to already be overweight due to endometrial cancer, that might have been the risk factor. Diabetes could be an issue as well.
Jenny, we know from, again, seeing MSI high tumors, not just endometrial cancer, but other cancers, that most of these patients actually respond and they respond well. I'm just curious what your experience, have you treated a patient with just pembrolizumab alone?
Yep.